For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, trembled with the shaking thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. What a wonderful book. Longfellow said, within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote, we search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the truthful, the beautiful, and we search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful, from graven stone and written scroll, and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful church. I sang it as I sat there. We all together too often take for granted what we have. The music. Dr. Johnson, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Madeline and choir. Didn't the teenagers do a good job? Wow. That choir this morning, he reached down. Thank God he reached down. We take for granted our pastor. Don't do that. He's a man of God. Don't take for granted his wife and his family. They need your prayers and your support. Don't take for granted you got a wonderful place like this building to come to and sit down in comfort and worship, sing. Most of you give. Rest of you ought to. You remember, some of you will remember that in 1949 when the communists took over China, The church members went to their church the next Sunday morning and literally found their pastors nailed to the doors. Nailed to the doors. Don't take it for granted, folks. We have a lot to be thankful for. I was thinking of the violin trio. Wasn't that beautiful? I used to play the violin, but my arm got so worn I had to give it up. You know I'm kidding. I never played anything but the radio and hop, skip, jump, something like that when I was a kid. But I was thinking as they played that, I was thinking about Brooks Morris. Some of you recognize that name. He founded and was president of the Fort Worth Symphony for a long time. And also, he played the violin for the First Baptist Church for 35 years. What a great man he was. Recognized all over the United States and the world as being one of the outstanding violinists and teachers of violin in all the country. We have a lot to be thankful for. Don't take it for granted. Now open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible, we know that God, the Bible opens the mind of God. I want you to see what God's thinking about tonight in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. As you're finding your place in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book we call the Bible. I know tonight that we understand the importance of reading the Scripture. I know that we understand that all Scripture is inspired. God breathed. That's what it means. God breathed. And here came the Word. By the way, God doesn't have halitosis. God breathed every word of this. How many of you believe that every word in the Bible? Let's see your hand. All of it. God, raise your Bible up there for a moment. God bless you, many Bible. This is a Bible church. You know, you come to church without a Bible, it's like a carpenter going to work without his hammer and his saw. So have your Bible. I have over 100 of them in my home. I don't expect to ever be without a Bible. And I want to read it and study it every day. And I hope that you do as well. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1. Through verse 3. And I shall read it after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful for the day you have given us. We're grateful for our church, our pastor, our people. Thank you for the staff. Thank you for those that went out yonder to Africa and these other places to take your word. Thank you for the music. Thank you for our Sunday school and our bus ministry and our senior citizens, Dr. Rigsby, and all of those dear people, precious people. I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. It's so pure and so perfect. May it be a lamp unto our feet now and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. I'm going to suggest that you circle three words in verse 3. Day by day. By way of introduction to my message, I want to share with you a poem that I wrote on an American Airlines flight between Dallas-Fort Worth and Baltimore, Washington, back in the year 2004. I entitled it, One Day at a Time. One day at a time we live the Christian life, enjoying the good while enduring the strife. We climb the mountains and cross the plains. We laugh at the woes and mock the pains. Some days are long, and some mountains are steep. The plains are wide and the valleys are deep. But each step we take brings us closer to the goal as we yield to Jesus, our body and soul. A few more days and we'll cross the divide. We'll meet our dear Savior and with Him forever abide. What a wonderful Savior. I've entitled the message, The Secret of Living One Day at a Time. Would you look back at verse 3 again? Give us day by day our daily bread. The reason some people are tense, nervous, uptight, anxious, fearful, afraid, stressed out, is because they never learn to live one day at a time. By the way, have you learned that lesson? Can I give you a good start for your day, every day of your life? I do this every day of my life, most of the time before I get out of the bed. There's a verse of Scripture that you ought to know. You can memorize it in a few minutes. It's very short. Psalm 118 and verse 24. And I want you to listen very carefully. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not if I don't have a flat tire on the way to work, or if the children don't get sick at school, or the air conditioner didn't go out at the house, or the boss man says, we don't need you anymore, or you lose your wages, reduce wages, whatever. Listen, don't put any ifs after that it. I will rejoice and be glad in it, period. Whatever happens, whatever comes, rejoice in the Lord. Now, physically, we all live one day at a time. We can't help ourselves. We have to do that. Life is structured that way. But mentally, listen to me now, some people live in three time zones, the past, the present, and the future. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The people who study these things tell us that people do not crack up or melt down because of the stress and strain of life, but because they are carrying a triple load. Along with today's burdens, they are lugging the burdens of the past and of the future. That's what you call a classic example of excess baggage. There's not a person in this congregation tonight who is strong enough to bear up under such a load. Now you may be asking, well, how can I live one day at a time? Well, I'm glad you asked. You got questions, we got answers. Right out of the inspired encyclopedia of God, His knowledge, His truth, His directions, right out for us, I'm going to suggest three things to help you to live one day at a time. And by the way, I'm going to give them to you one at a time. Number one, I get to two and three after a while now, just number one. To live one day at a time means you must stop living in the past. You want some good advice? I'm not going to give you this out of the books of the philosophers, out of the teachers and educators, and all that's good. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to give you some inspired advice. It comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And this is what he said. Please listen very carefully. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Put a little pause right there on your machine. Let's just pause a second right there. One thing I do. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was. May have been me. It's better to dig one well and strike oil than to skirt 1,000 and come up dry. One thing I do. What is that, Paul? Here it is. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, the key word there is forgetting. There's some things you have to forget. Webster says to forget means to be unable to remember. I admonish you to forget your defeats. Forget your victories as well. Forget the sins, the injuries, the disappointments, the disillusionments. Forget your mistakes. By the way, if you're looking for mistakes, look in the mirror first. Forget your hurt feelings. How many people quit church because they get their feelings hurt? I think that's a cop-out with most people. The preacher said something that I thought he was directing right at me. They never call on me to sing the solo. My name never appears in the church paper. They didn't give me the leading role in the Christmas pageant or the Easter play. And by the way, nobody ever speaks to me when I come to church. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You don't come to church for people to speak to you. You come to church for God to speak to you. Put your listening ears on. Listen to God. Follow His advice. Now, here's some good advice. Don't use up today's power trying to relive yesterday's problems. You need to understand that worrying about the problems of yesterday paralyzes your efforts of today. Here's something you need to learn, and learn it well. Excessive regret over the blunders of the past makes you totally unfit for living in the present. At the same time, it renders you inadequate to face the future. Go back to verse 3, day by day. I know what you're asking. What am I going to do with my past? It's haunting me. The devil comes around and reminds me of my past sins and my mistakes and my blunders and my faults. And my. By the way, when the devil comes around and reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. It's written in the Revelation 20 and verse 10, and the devil which deceived them was cast into the lake of fire with burning with brimstone, and shall be where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That'll scare him away. He's a coward anyway. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you wink at him, he'll come up closer. Be careful. Now, there's only one thing you can do with your past. I want you to put this, write this on the walls of your mind. Engrave this on the lobes of your heart. Deposit this in the vault of your soul. And here it is, one thing to do with your past. Commit your past into the hands of the Lord. Listen to me. He will filter out the bad and preserve the good. What did God say about it? In Hebrews 8:12, God says something that will change your perspective on your past forever. Are you ready for this? Stay tuned. Listen to what God says. In Hebrews 8:12, God said, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." If you get that down, you'll have your past all settled. If God forgets your past, all the mistakes, all the sins, all the faults, all the failures, all the blunders, surely you can. That brings me to my second thought. To live one day at a time means you must stop living in the future. How would you like to revolutionize your life? make a new beginning, perhaps. Well, listen to what Jesus said. I tell you, if you listen to Jesus, you're going to be on the right page. I love to quote Jesus. You already know that. Let me tell you before I give it to you, you won't find anything like this in the works of the philosophers, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. You won't find anything like this in the poems of the poets, Shakespeare, Byron, Shelley, Keats, and all the rest. You won't find anything like this in the speeches of motivational speakers. You'll find this only in the Bible and only from Jesus. I recommend you crystallize it, capitalize it, centralize it, and memorize it. Here it is, Matthew 6:34. Jesus said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What on earth did Jesus mean? Don't think about the future. Don't think about tomorrow. First of all, let me tell you what Jesus did not mean. Jesus did not mean for you to throw everything to the wind, flip a coin, and hope for the best. No, no, no. Jesus meant, don't anticipate the troubles, the trials, the tragedies of tomorrow. Rather, occupy yourself with the events of today. A recent survey shows that 98% of all things that people worry about never come to pass. The superintendent of a leading mental institution said, are you listening? Mental institute, you better listen. One of the main causes of mental breakdowns is anxiety over the future. People try all kinds of remedies for their worry. They read books. They attend seminars. They listen to motivational speakers. They take pills and potions. They go to the psychiatrist or the psychologist only to find themselves little, if any, better off. Could I tell you what you need to know about the real cure for your worry and anxiety? It's in the Bible. In fact, it's in the New Testament book that's called by some the psychology book of the Bible. It's written by Paul while he was in prison, no less. By the way, Norman Vincent Peale never produced anything like this. Vance Havner said, and I agree with him, I find Paul appealing and Peale appalling. Take that one over. It's Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This cure, listen to me, this cure will keep you mentally stable and emotionally balanced every day of your life. Don't miss a word of it. Paul wrote, be careful for nothing. That word careful, you know, means anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. You know, we get so anxious about things, we worry about global warming. Folks, the globe belongs to God. If he wants to warm it, let him warm it. They worry about North Korea dropping us a bomb on us, or Iran shooting a missile over to Israel. Listen, God and Israel is going to take care of that. And we'll probably fall in and help them. God doesn't need any help. Israel might. Don't worry. Listen, what difference does it make if it gets a little warmer? It's pretty warm in here right now. So we've got global warming right here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, now watch it, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Underscore prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, watch it now, that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this passage is not true, neither is John 3:16 or Romans 8:28. That word keep there means a regiment of soldiers standing on guard. You know what that means to me? God puts a regiment of soldiers around my mind. For some of us, it doesn't take many soldiers. He puts a regiment of soldiers around our heart. And that prevents a satanic invasion. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm glad we have that word keep, a military term. I'm glad we have a third thing. The third thing in the secret of living one day at a time. You should remember that all of life is organized, watch it now, on the principle of one at a time. You live one day at a time. You breathe one breath at a time. Your heart beats one beat at a time. The clock ticks one tick at a time. You speak one word at a time. That's the average person. I know some people can put three words in it. I don't understand a thing they say. I don't think they know what they're saying either. One word at a time. Now, Jesus instructed us to ask for our livelihood one day at a time, day by day. To ask anything more is to ask for what God has not promised. And to ask for what God has not promised is to mock His word and insult His integrity. It's a terrible mistake to add to or take away from God's word. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, the wise man wrote, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Friend, could I tell you, you cannot win in the word game with God, because God always has the last word. The poet wrote, "Life is a story in volumes three, the past, the present, and the yet to be. The first is finished and laid away. The second we're writing day by day. The third and last of the volumes three is locked from sight, and God keeps the key." Remember this, tomorrow may never come. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with will. Place not faith in tomorrow. The clock may then be still. If tomorrow does come, you don't want to miss this. It may be different than what you thought it would be. Someone wrote, "Perhaps the dreaded future has less bitter than I think. The Lord may sweeten the waters before I stoop to drink." An aging Christian woman testified, "I'm an old woman. I've had lots of troubles, most of which never happened." Dr. Norris used to say, "Troubles are bubbles and bubbles fly away." Remember this. Whatever tomorrow brings, God is equal to it. Let me repeat that. Whatever tomorrow brings, God is equal to it. God is not going to allow anything to come into your life that the two of you can't handle. I give you His word on it in one of the most comforting, consoling verses in all the Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. I suggest you put 4 stars by that verse. Some of you that were in some of my classes in seminary years ago, when I came upon an important point, I said, make out a 4-star general. Put 4 stars by that verse, Isaiah 43, 2. And here it is. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." You may want to talk to Noah about that when you get to heaven. He answered all the questions about the flood. By the way, did you hear about the man who survived the Johnstown flood? Everywhere he went, he told people about how many 1,000 cubic feet of water passed over, how many houses were destroyed, how many people died, how many rocks were flowing out. Everywhere he went, finally he went to heaven. First thing he did was ask Peter for the permission to tell about how he survived the Johnstown flood. Peter said, "Okay, but before you do, I want you to meet Noah." The verse continues, "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The most classic example of anybody in a fire in the Bible is the three Hebrew boys. You may want to talk to them when we get to heaven too. When the king Nebuchadnezzar looked in that furnace, he said to his men, Rigsby? Oh, he didn't call Rigsby. He wasn't there. He's almost old enough to be. He said, didn't we put three men in this fire? Yes. Well, I see a fourth one, and his likeness is like unto the Son of God. They came out singing, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Through the fiery furnace. Came out, listen, they came out, clothes were not burned, hair was not singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's more than I can say for some Christians I know. The hymn writer said, when through fiery trials my pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. If you're going through a fiery furnace tonight, God has a purpose in that. And Jesus is with you. If the floodwaters of worry and concern and anxiety and burdens and problems and heartaches and difficulties are crowding your life, He's with you. He's there. He feels every burden that you feel. He feels every heartache that you feel. He knows every sorrow that you're going through. He knows a difficulty out there on the job. He knows the problems in your home, in your life, in your schoolwork. You students that are going back to school, you're going to run into some difficult times. Now, your first year was kind of easy. You got adjusted. They told you what to do. Sit here, go there, sleep here, eat here. They're not going to tell you that in the second year. You're going to have to do some things for yourself. But I'm saying all that to say this. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some burdens. You're going to have some heartaches. You go on a new job and you get nervous about it, but Jesus is there. Something happens in your home that just disturbs the peace. Jesus is there. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is day by day, nothing more, nothing less. Let's stand for our prayer. With our heads bowed, the altar's open, by the way. Anytime you feel like you need to come, just come on down. Don't wait till we sing. Don't wait till we pray. Heads are bowed. Listen, heads are bowed. Now be reverent. I wonder how many of you would say by the lifted hand, God spoke to me in this message tonight from His Word. Would you put your hand up real high? Put it up. God bless you. Now, if you lifted your hand, hear me now. I invite you to step out of your seat. Right now, don't wait. Don't delay. Come right now. Don't wait on somebody else. Somebody else may not come. You just step out of your seat. If you can't kneel, you can stand around the altar. But if God, listen to me, if God has spoken to your heart, you should listen to Him. You should obey Him. You should follow what He says do. You can find a place at the altar and talk to Him about it. He's listening. He's waiting. He wants to help you. Come on. Others are coming. Families, little children. God bless these little children. Young people, mothers and daddies, grandma and grandpa. Come on down. All of you that God has spoken to. You said He had. Come on, that's right. Families are coming. Young people are coming. Families are coming. Individuals are coming. Families are coming. Holy Spirit is speaking. It's not Raymond Barber. It's not what I said. It's what He said in His book. That's what we need to listen to. Now I'm going to pray for you folks that have come. If you'll remain there. Anybody else wants to come, I'll be happy to wait for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for these precious people that are on their knees tonight at an altar, seeking Your will, trusting Your grace, depending on your love and mercy. I pray now that you be with them and meet their needs as you promised to do right in your word. They believe it or they wouldn't be here. May your will be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in an invitation, an appeal. If God's speaking yet to your heart, just take a step and come on right now while we sing.